Success Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Discover our commitment to our clients. At Life and Legacy, building wealth, securing your family's future, giving back, and creating a lasting legacy are not just values, but a way of life. Let us guide you toward a future aligned with what matters most to you. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as the key to unlock your workforce. Now here's your hosts, Robin Bailey and Al McDonald.
Welcome back to the Success Leaves Clues podcast. Oh, I'm so excited today. I'm very excited. You know, one of the great things, Al, you and I have chatted about is a side effect of the podcast that we didn't anticipate in the beginning was the relationships that we developed, the friendships. And most recently, I shared a picture on LinkedIn and people had a lot of fun about the four of us starting a boy band. And we had several names coming up and some of them were quite creative. So with no further ado, today we're reconnecting with our good friend, Corey Chadwick, who is the founder of Lyceum, in episode 175. By the way, we're in episode 250 now, so quite some time ago. Corey shared the powerful story of losing his mom at a young age and how that loss ignited his commitment to mental health, purpose, and living life fully. If you missed that conversation, I highly recommend you go back and listen because it was a really powerful conversation. Corey is a passionate advocate for purposeful living and high-performance thinking, whose work focuses on training the mind, much like the body, to thrive under pressure, make better decisions, and lead with greater confidence and clarity. Through the newly branded Lyceum, he's helping organizations build the mindset, clarity, and resilience needed to lead in an unpredictable world. His mission is to normalize mental fitness in the workplace, equipping individuals and organizations with the tools not to just get by, but to grow, evolve, and show up at their very best every day. Corey, always awesome to see you.
Yeah, great to see you guys.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back, guys. It's, I had a blast the first time, and I'm excited for round two.
And Corey, when we first met you, we knew you, Corey from the Mental Gym. And I remember the day I met you at Tech Talent North, and I was very grateful to, was it Josh that introduced us?
It was Josh.
Yeah. Another good friend.
The fourth member of our boy band.
Part of the boy band, Joshua Siegel. Thank you, Josh. But when we met you and we had you on the podcast, it was through the Mental Gym. And then, of course, we did some work with you as well, which was, I think, very rewarding and very important from a team perspective. So thank you for that. But maybe we can start with the new branding. So from the Mental Gym to Lyceum, what is the name unlock that maybe the previous brand didn't? Maybe you can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. When the Mental Gym started, I think like a lot of things when they start, you're learning as you go, right? You're kind of putting something out into the world and you're learning as you go. And the name, the Mental Gym, I liked it, but I was never in love with it. And it was kind of like a temporary name. I thought it just lasted for about 4 years. Early in the Mental Gym process, one of the members she was wonderful, great leader, great person. She said something in the middle of a session. She's like, you know what this reminds me of? She goes, if you think back to ancient Greece, Aristotle had this place where these great Greek philosophers would come together and they would share their big ideas and they would work together to improve things, improve organizations and society and families and things like that. And it was really about this commitment to better. And that really stuck with me. That she said, I didn't even know the name of it at the time. It's something I actually came back to later on. But this idea stuck with me about there is a certain type of person who really thrives in Lyceum. And while we're for everybody, we're also not for everybody, right? As you guys know, of going through part of this process, there's a certain like-mindedness of bright, aspirational, growth-minded people who really enjoy being challenged and the challenge to improve and keep improving themselves and show up and lead at their best. And they're people who really care about the impact they have on other people as well, especially as leaders, knowing the ripple effect and the influence that we have. And this idea always stuck with me. So, it came time to freshen up the brand. And This was a name that had been with me for a while and what it stood for. It's something I'm very proud of. Once we made that switch official, it just felt right and it's never stopped feeling right since. I love what Elysium stands for. I love what it's about and I love what we can bring to the world.
Well, I'm looking forward to diving into this conversation because again, when we met you through the Mental Gym, we went through working quite a bit of time together and that's where I got to know you. And I think it's been interesting to watch our team evolve since we've gone through that. And it's funny because we've got people at the older end of the spectrum. Hi, Al, how you doing? And then we've got some people at the younger end of the spectrum. And what you said, I think, is really important. And we've been very fortunate with our company because, and I'll just speak for myself here, but I know this about Al too, there's this quest for learning. Mm-hmm. And as far as I can tell, at my age, it's never going to stop. I always want to get that a little bit better, become a better version. And I'm seeing it on our younger employees too. So when you bring people together that always have this quest to constantly improve, you see great results. Is that what you're seeing with some of the cohorts that you're working with?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a big believer that people want to show up at their best. They really, truly do. And we're just struggling to do it. And for a lot of reasons. There's a lot on our plates. There's a lot going on in the world, a lot for people to process. And also, we're not really equipped to show up at our best. You guys know we talk about things on a scale from 1 to 10, right? And do we want to be treading water at a 5 just because it's fine, it's okay, and it's not at a 2? Or do we want to move in the direction of 10? And so when you show people that this actually is an option, and also understanding that like 10 doesn't mean perfect, there's no perfect. Like you said, it doesn't matter what your age is, you want to keep growing and keep improving, right? So it's not like we get there and we're done. We want that constant state of improvement or that constant process of improvement is something that's so important to us. When you get people together who feel the same way, who are like-minded that way, and you give them the structure, you give them the environment, you give them the support, you give them what they need to unlock that potential and tap into that version of themselves, it's something that they've been craving. And as you guys know, the environment that we create, it's that safe, supportive, no judgment environment. We're not here to judge, we're here to grow. And when you can give people that environment and you can give them the tools that they need and help them develop the skills that they need and the mindset that they need and practice developing the skills, not just the tools, but the skills that we need, right, to practice and integrate in everyday life, the way they come together and the way they grow so much faster is remarkable. And so we're just seeing that more and more as Elysium continues to evolve and improve.
Corey, I definitely want to dive into some of the successes you've had, but I do want to go back to something that was said a little bit earlier, and that was, I'm quite proud of my age, by the way.
And that's the only reason I said it. I know you are.
I remember the thing that probably struck me the most when we did our work with you was the work and the conversations around mindset and how, you know, different mindsets can have different impacts in that. Can you talk a little bit maybe about what you see are some common, let's call them mindset traps that maybe leaders fall into? And then how does Elysium help them to break out of those or change?
Yeah, it's a great question. And there are a lot. I'll start with a few that come to mind. One is the way we think about mental health and that we've been almost conditioned to think about mental health as the kind of thing that we react to when we're in crisis and ignore the rest of the time, which isn't the way we need to be thinking about this. If you think about mental health like you think about physical health, so many of us, especially in leadership positions, we're leaders, we want to be high performers, we lead high performers and people like this. Imagine a physical athlete trying to show up and perform at a 10 if their physical health is at a 5. It doesn't work. It's not what you want. It doesn't get you the results that you want. It's our mental health because it touches so many parts of our lives, really every part of our life, from how we think and make decisions and behave, how we feel, our relationships, how we perform, definitely how we lead. And I could go on and on here. It's even more important than our physical health. So when we switch that mindset from let's just address it if we fall into some sort of a crisis or something like that, and instead of being reactive, be proactive, move up the scale to being mentally healthy and fit, and not just, you know, check a box, but actually live that way, then you see a remarkable shift in mindset and it sets them up really on a different trajectory. That's one you see a lot. Another one that people fall into is thinking that your mental health and well-being is something you can check off with like a lunch and learn or a one-off. And again, like imagine trying to master physical health in a lunch and learn. That makes no sense, right? You wouldn't exercise once and say, I'm done, I'm healthy now. It's a practice, it's a lifestyle. So those are a couple of huge shifts just when it comes to mental health. When it comes to like we said, our development, when we're talking about that, that development, that journey of continuous improvement. When you introduce people to this idea of 10, right, scale from 1 to 10, we want to be working towards that 10. For a lot of people, that idea can seem like a little too much because it's, do I have to then work harder and harder? Do I have to do more and more? And for a lot of leaders, especially the ones that we work with, they're busy. They got a lot on their plates. They're already at capacity. So the idea of doing more or working harder is something that is not so appealing. And so we got to get rid of that idea. The idea of 10 isn't working harder and harder or longer or anything to aspire to someone else's idea of 10. It's such a way we've been conditioned to think. It's really about, let's calm this process down. Let's simplify it. Not make it harder, but let's make it more simple. Let's make it yours. Let's keep moving in that direction. Let's do it consistently, you know, with consistency, with guidance, with support. And so when you can change that idea and also away from perfect, but more to progress, just let's keep making progress. Those shifts right there really free people up in an amazing way, because previously some people might have been resistant to the idea of 10. And they're like, 8 works. Or even if they say 10 out loud inside, they're thinking like, oh, some level of perfection. And we're also kind of surrounded by this idea of what perfection looks like. Social media and everything like that. It's just, it's doing way more harm than good. So if we can unlearn a lot of that and then start to learn, very quickly we can start to learn what that direction feels like to us, not a destination, not a place we get to and we're done, but let's point ourselves in a direction. Let's move in that direction together. That mindset shift is another one that unlocks so much in leaders and frees them up to show up, perform, think, make decisions that lead in just an entirely better way. And they love it.
So I remember, again, when we worked together, the two things that came up a lot were this growth mindset versus a fixed mindset. And reading and listening and watching some other things, those terms have come up again too. So I guess what I want to just dive into a little bit is, like, how does someone who maybe has a more of a fixed mindset, first of all, how do you know? And second of all, how do you get from one to the other? How do you go from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset?
It's a great question. It starts with awareness. Like everything starts with awareness, right? We all have a default way of how we think and how we make decisions and how we view life, like a perspective on life, at work, at home, what we believe to be true and not true and things like that. And it's kind of operating almost in the background on default, which we don't realize. So when we become more aware of what our mindset is, first understanding the difference between a fixed mindset and a growth mindset, and then understanding, like, seeing these different situations in your life where it's actually showing up and how we don't think of it as right or wrong. There's no right or wrong mindset to have. It's just which one is going to serve you better, which one's going to help you achieve what you want to achieve and grow the way you want to grow. In some instances, it's possible a fixed mindset is to your advantage, but in most, it's that growth mindset. So when people get to observe their defaults and they get to see, and we do it with like zero judgment, right? We're not judging you because you were this way before. It's not that at all. It's like, we're excited that we get to learn something about ourselves and then make a choice about how we want to move forward. So a big part of that shift from the fixed mindset to a growth mindset is understanding how it's showing up and how it's limiting us and how it's keeping us on one part of that scale where we don't want to be, and how if we embrace the growth mindset and again, learn these different areas of our lives where it's showing up and just make these manageable shifts in improving that outlook, then it's quite a simple shift for people. It doesn't need to be complicated.
But it probably doesn't seem simple when people are starting to dive in. I'm going to bet for a lot of people, it seems overwhelming and, you know, again, gets them out of their comfort zone and, oh, do I have to do this?
I don't see that much in Elysium. I do get though why people might feel that way, because I mean, I can think of a lot of trainings that I've been a part of, you know, in my growth journey, and they throw a whole lot at you at once and they kind of overwhelm you with information or these big changes that you need to make. And even if you have this ambition about changing something, we know that it rarely sticks. And then you kind of even feel more defeated than before. Like you almost, in some ways, would have been better off not going in the first place. So rather than trying to make big changes, we want to focus on making really tiny adjustments, like little micro shifts in how we think, how we make decisions, and how we behave, manageable changes. And we do that consistently so they compound. So in the example of a growth mindset, you're introducing the concept. Again, you're not judging anybody about it. You're just like, hey, this applies to every single one of us. We're all human. You introduce the concept and then slowly start to show them ways where they could choose to, only if they want to. You're not making anybody do anything. You're saying, hey, does this make sense to you? Like, is this more like who you want to be? And they're like, yeah, I want to be more like that. It's like, okay, let's try that thing. Let's just try that for a week and see what happens. Go ahead, try it if you want to. And people do, and they try it, and they're like, wow, that's a huge shift. Like, it didn't feel like I made this big change, but there's a noticeable difference in how I feel and how I made decisions this week and how I interacted with people. And so it's that sort of thing where you just keep those compounding improvements going. It doesn't need to be overwhelming. And the truth is, it is quite simple. I'm a big fan of simplifying things so that people can really sink their teeth into them and make them their own. It doesn't mean it's always easy, but that's why we do it together, right? We do it together with support, with community, with guidance, with that consistency. It's not like, go do it and see you later. No, we're in this together and we're growing together and we're improving together. And so that growth process becomes one that in many ways can't get enough of, because you see how doable it is.
One of the things I always tell my kids is if it was easy, anyone could do it.
Yeah. Do you really want it to be easy? I mean, I say that to my kids too. Like, guys, do we want it to be easy? Doesn't mean you need everything to be hard, but like, hard things are good for you.
Absolutely.
Right? They challenge you. They make you grow.
They do. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, what did we talk about in the episode that went out yesterday, Al? We were talking a lot about adversity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does and how, you know, you value things so much more when there is adversity. And facing adversity is great for you. Corey, I want to talk to you about, I mean, I've been in many trainings as well and many sessions, not just yours. And I find there's a point at which people kind of, something clicks.
Yeah.
They get it. Right. And I'm sure you've seen this a lot in your work. Can you maybe talk about some of those? What kinds of aha moments tend to land hardest for people who are attending your sessions?
Yeah. So one of my favorite things about Elysium is how those aha moments can be different for different people. It's something hits them a certain way, or there's a gap that you get to fill for them, and it changes everything. So just kind of fresh off a session that I just was doing, one of the leaders in here, fantastic woman, owns her business and came into Elysium very high strung, like really stressed, tons of anxiety, wanted to be a great leader, but kind of like couldn't get out of her own way in many ways. And one of my favorite concepts and something I wish everybody in life understood is that nothing is personal. So there's no need to take anything personally. There's a really important mindset shift. If you can switch from that feeling of it's personal and now I got to be defensive and react and maybe do something I'm not proud of or behave in a way I'm not proud of or whatever it is. What if nothing was personal? How would you handle it then? And so she says, whoa, wait a second. You just blew my mind. I've spent my entire life taking things personally and getting triggered and reacting emotionally. And now you're suggesting to me that it doesn't need to be this way. Like, this would change everything. And so there's the light bulb, right? There's the aha moment. Then it's about actually integrating this into your life. Like, go try this. Go see what happens when you're dealing with your team. Go see what happens when you're dealing with your clients. Go see what happens when you're dealing with a very triggering family. And this is your approach instead of the old way of doing it. And then really within like a week or two, you see just dramatic shifts in how people are showing up, how they're feeling, how they're leading, how they're performing. So there's just one that's fresh. More commonly, though, if we're kind of thinking like ones that I see a lot across the board, is that we're so much more alike than we are different, and that we have so much in common, especially leaders who, again, who really do care about how they show up for themselves and for all the people they impact, and that we're all going through so much of the same stuff in life, so many of the same challenges. We want a lot of the same things. We're working towards a lot of the same things, and there's a lot of things that come up along the way. An example, just in a recent session, it's fresh. This fantastic leader was saying, he goes, I don't know if this makes sense to everybody, but I'm having trouble balancing what's going on at home. I'm trying to show up and be a great parent for my kids and be a great partner, a great spouse, but I'm also trying to be a great leader at work. And I'm also trying to take care of myself. Like, she's like, I don't know. Does that make sense to anybody? Can anybody relate to that? And obviously everybody in that session, men, women,
of
everybody.
Of course.
Yeah, we get that. We're exactly the same. But for some reason to her, she just thought she was the only one and that nobody else would get it. And I do understand why that happens, because we tend to be quite guarded.
Yeah.
We tend to project an image of ourselves that we want other people to see and like and approve of. And we don't want to ever give off the impression that we don't have it all together, especially as leaders. But we struggle with that. But because of that, we just think we're the only one dealing with something that we're dealing with or feeling the challenge or feeling the burn. But as soon as we start talking about it, again, there's no judgment. We're all going through this stuff. Let's just normalize it. That huge sense of relief that shows up, that aha of like, wow, I'm normal. yeah, you're normal. Now that we can drop all that, let's just move on to growing. That's a fantastic aha moment. I mean, there are a lot. It depends how much time we have, guys. I could go on and on here. Again, what I talked about with 10, that idea that 10 doesn't need to be a destination and it doesn't need to be perfect. And it's not about doing more or working harder. In fact, many people share that they achieve more and they get better results by doing less. And they're less stressed, they're less anxious. They feel like they're not pushing themselves as hard, but they're getting way better results. It's like, yeah, these aha moments of there's a different way. It doesn't have to be the only way I've ever known. It doesn't have to be the only way I've ever learned. Just because it's the way that most other people do it doesn't mean it needs to be the best way for me or my team or my company. Those moments, when that happens, everything changes. The trajectory changes and you don't go back, which is like really exciting to witness.
I'm glad you shared that because I'll share a story with you. So my wife and I recently went to the first time for me to Poland for our 20th wedding anniversary because her mom was from there and she wanted to walk in the footsteps of her mom. And by the way, if you're listening and Poland is not on your radar, put it on your radar. Oh my gosh, I was blown away, just more than I ever expected. And you know, we're on a tour bus because we're doing this massive tour to see as much as possible in a short amount of time. And it was like a 10-hour tour. And we were going and driving and stopping and going and looking at sites and getting back on the bus. And at some point, a couple hours in, I'm like, I gotta go to the bathroom. And I didn't say anything for about an hour until I finally had to say, can we make a bathroom stop? Because you think no one else has to go to the bathroom.
No, you're the only one.
And I remember walking into the men's bathroom with the guy beside me saying, oh my God, I'm so glad you asked. Because like 10 of us had to go. But it's to your point, we think our problems are unique. A lot of us are struggling, especially leaders in business. We're struggling with a lot of the same things. And you think you're alone. And that's one of the things with working with you. You realize, oh, I'm not the only person struggling through these things. And it's great in a very non-judgmental environment to be able to talk about these things. Because you know, that was my most recent example. Half the bus had to go to the washroom. It wasn't just me. And there I am afraid to say anything because I don't want to be, you know, the only, hey, why does this guy have to go all right? Right?
Yeah. Can I actually share a quick story about?
Yeah, please.
You just said, yeah. I was giving this talk to this company. This is actually pre-COVID. So, I mean, COVID got everybody talking about mental health and paying attention to it. So this is pre-COVID. In a really high pressure, high stress startup environment. And I was meeting with, I think it was 70 leaders. And one of them at one point says, I'm dealing with a lot of anxiety right now, like really high pressure situation. We got a lot riding on this. We're working a ton. I'm dealing with a lot of anxiety. And I said, hey, do you ever talk about that with anybody? Do you ever like let anyone else know that that's how you're feeling? And he's like, well, no. I'm like, why not? And the same reasons that we all have for not doing it, right? He's like, well, what if they think I can't do my job well? What if they think I can't perform? What if they think I can't lead? They're going to judge me. And I don't think anyone else would understand. So I look at the rest of the room. I say, anyone else here understand? Anyone else relate? And every single hand in the room went up. Every single hand went up. And this look on not just his face, this like, you know, mouth drop, open eyes, like what's going on right now? But every one of them, they're looking around at each other like, every single one of us is feeling the same way. Nobody ever acknowledges it. Nobody talks about it. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. It means, again, how could you not, in this high-pressure environment, how could you not feel anxious? How could you not feel stressed? How could you not be burning out? I didn't love the way that culture was run and the way the leaders were doing it. They really were burning people out, and there was a lot to improve there. But just to acknowledge it, like most people are in this same boat. It's not like a handful of people. When we talk about things like mental health, we're only, again, talking about kind of like the crisis stage of mental health, but we're not talking nearly enough about so many people, most people who are just trying to balance life and figure it out and make things work and keep up and look good and process this world that we're living in right now, which is like kind of bananas, this world, right? It's, you know, no spoiler alert for anyone. It's a lot to deal with. It's a heavy time for a lot of people. And like, why are we pretending that it's not impacting us? And why are we pretending like we do have it all together and then posting about it on Instagram or something? Like, look at my great life. It's just so counterproductive. But when you can just acknowledge that we're all trying to figure it out and we're all trying to move in the same direction, especially those of us who are moving in the direction of 10, we just have so much in common on that journey and in that direction. Just normalize it. And when you normalize it again, you're opening up so much opportunity. People grow so much faster when that light bulb goes off because they stop trying to look good and watch everything that they say and they just grow. And so I would love that for everybody, just to recognize like you're not the only one. Whatever you're thinking, whatever you're feeling, other people are too. I promise you. And a whole lot of people are. So let's normalize it.
So speaking of normalized, I know this is a TikTok trend or an Instagram trend. I'm not a follower of either. But apparently there's, I think it's TikTok, there's a trend of a day in the life where people just record their normal day in the life. So to your point, Corey, about, you know, normalizing things, and we see those images, you know, that perfect life, which is a snapshot in time of something great that's happening, but it's not the other 23 hours and 59 minutes that go on in everyone else's life. But everyone thinks, why isn't my life like that? So apparently this is a trend now, and it's getting a lot of traction, that it's just, this is what a normal day is in a person's life. Maybe that's a lot more realistic to your point of just everyone is experienced. So you said another thing just in your last description there about leadership and culture.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that the person who was really anxious. So I want to maybe dig down into that a little bit. And based on what you've seen, and I think you've been doing this for a long time, where do you see some of maybe the greater impact, or if you can measure it, do you think it comes more from the leaders that you're working with really diving into and embracing the program? Or do you think there's more impact of maybe just an entire team all just doing a little bit and, you know, making those gradual adjustments, and thus the overall culture shifts? Where are you seeing the most impact in a company's culture?
Can I say both?
You can say both.
Yeah. So leadership is such a privilege because you get to impact all of these people, and not just the people on your teams, but the people that they work with. And then there's this ripple effect to their families. I hear leaders tell me, like, you know what your employees are talking about at the dinner table, right? They're talking about their boss. And of course, that's what they're talking about. We know that people don't leave their companies. They leave their managers or their leaders, right? And this is why these things happen. And people, again, they want to show up at their best. They want to feel great. They want to do work that they're proud of, that they can feel good about. They want to know that they matter. And great leaders can create that environment and help people feel inspired and empowered. It's something that everybody wants. So yes, you absolutely want that leader showing up that way, diving in, doing the work, and making sure they're showing up at their best. But I'm also a believer that you don't need a title to be a leader. Any one of us can lead. You don't need your business card to say that. And so the more people that you have within a culture, within an ecosystem of any kind, definitely within a team and within a company, the more people that you have who are understanding things in a similar way, speaking a shared language, holding each other to a higher standard and accountability that is consistent with what we do in Lyceum, the more that happens, the more that, again, just normalizes that growth process and that commitment to living a mentally healthy and fit lifestyle, showing up at our best, leading at our best. So you don't need, I would say, every single person in your organization doing it, but you certainly want some people who care and champion it. And the more of them, the better.
Yeah, to get kind of that tipping point, I guess,
yeah,
where enough people are doing it, the other people want to embrace it as well and follow along. And
yeah. Well, the thing that they ask is like, well, what have you figured out that I haven't figured out?
Right.
And it's like, oh, well, I go to Lyceum. Oh, okay. I want it too.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the kind of thing that you create, that it just spreads within any culture. It spreads within a family, spreads within a team, spreads within a company.
I think we had this discussion before about Masterclass and Coach K.
Hmm.
Did we have that conversation before? I can't remember.
Yeah.
But I remember one of the things that in watching his masterclass, he said the exact same thing that you just said, which is, you know, you don't need a title to be a leader. Anyone can be a leader.
Yeah.
And from the success that he had with his college basketball teams, I think you can pretty well assume that he had more than just, you know, the captain on the team leading the way or the coach, right? It was really a whole team mentality.
And it's so important that there is that, right? It's not like everyone's going to have the loudest voice in the room, but can they lead? Can you lead yourself? I mean, it's like leadership 101. You got to learn to lead yourself before you can lead others. And many people haven't really learned to lead themselves, or if they do, they're doing it at like a 5 out of 10. So they're leading themselves to a 5, which means they're leading other people to a 5 also. And nobody gets out of bed in the morning all pumped up and inspired to get out there and show up at a 5, right?
Can you imagine? Yes, 5.
Right? Yeah, give me the 5. Yeah. Mm. Well, I guess if you're like, I feel like you're a 1 or a 2, 5 sounds pretty good. But
yeah,
I mean, what I'm about and what Lyceum's about, it's about the 5, 6, 7 moving to the 8, 9, 10.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, part of boy band code is, you know, we introduce each other to other people. And Corey, you've been really good about introducing me to other people and trying to return the favor. And I honestly can't see this happening. But if it did, I give you an introduction. You get in there, you meet a leader, say, Corey, I took the meeting because of Robin. You seem like a great guy, seem like you're very knowledgeable about what you're doing, and you're clearly passionate. Corey, you got to be honest with you. I don't have the time to do this type of stuff.
Yeah.
What do you do when you run into that? Because I'm sure, I'm thinking of just the executives that I work with. They've got so many things going on. Yeah, it's a great idea. I heard you on the podcast. I can't do it. I don't have the time to invest in this. What do you say?
Yeah, I love it because I hear it all the time, right? Because people are so busy, especially now. Like, life's just busier and busier and more hectic. There's an expression I heard a long time ago. I love it. It was, if you don't have time to meditate 20 minutes a day, then you need to meditate for an hour.
Interesting.
Now, meditation is not a big part of what we do in Lyceum, but the idea is you take 1 hour a week and it makes all the other hours better. So you need this, it's this necessary mental reset and this mental break that you do 1 hour a week. And it's your time to stop thinking about all the other things and stop worrying about all the other things and the people and the deadlines and the deliverables and your family and all the things that we have on our plates. And just take that 1 hour to focus on yourself and your mental health and well-being proactively, not reactively, and focus on your growth as a leader and focus on developing these truly meaningful connections with other amazing like-minded people. And if you take that 1 hour for yourself, again, I hear it all the time. I'm too busy, it sounds great, I'm too busy. But once people take the hour, once they put it in their schedules, they protect that time because it doesn't take long for them to realize that this is such an important part of my life. And the truth is there are so many people who already invested in things like executive coaching and therapy and things like that. One of the favorite things I ever heard from a leader was, when we first met, he goes, look, I see my therapist, I see my executive coach, I spend a lot of money every month, but this is my performance team. And he was doing Lyceum for less than a month. And he said, I dropped my therapist, I dropped my executive coach, I get so much more out of Lyceum at a fraction of the price. And I thought that was such a great way of saying it because it's absolutely true. And I'm not saying people shouldn't have executive coaches and shouldn't go to a therapist. I mean, what we need is more options for more people and more things that people can relate to say, you know, one size fits all approach makes no sense to me. It's like, imagine telling everybody they have to exercise the same way or watch the same movie or go to the same restaurant. Like, it doesn't make any sense, right? So you need more option. But anyway, for those people, everybody's busy. This 1 hour, if you take 1 hour a week, it will make all the other hours of the week better.
So you've won that person over. They start working with you. And I know you've seen this because you saw it in our company. What's the ripple effect on the rest of the company when you start seeing that one person that's just, and getting those aha moments?
Yeah. So within a group, there's always that first person. You don't know who it's going to be. You don't know what that first moment's going to be, that first light bulb that goes off, that first shift in their lives. Sometimes it happens at home, like it's something that happens with their family. Oftentimes it's something that happens at work with their team, right? They encountered a situation that they couldn't predict or see coming, but somehow they were equipped to handle it and they had the tool and they used it and they were like, wow, this changed everything. So what happens is, and you guys will remember this, we start off every session with something we call wins. And a win is like, share some progress, share some growth. Just again, that little shift, that little thing that's happening differently, share that. And it doesn't need to be some like monumental thing, like a promotion or landing a big new deal. I mean, you obviously get to hear those things too, which is fantastic. But even that first shift that somebody says, wow, that sounds amazing, I want that too. That person got it just by implementing this one tool or working on that one thing that we did. And it's actually quite a simple shift. So what it does is you create this amazing energy of growth because then you see this compounding effect and people sharing wins, 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 wins. And it doesn't take long to do that. Usually within the first few weeks, you start to hear some big wins. Actually, there was somebody that we all know very well who's in a program that I'm leading right now. And after our very first session, she came up to a group of people. I ran into her at your event. I ran into her at that amazing dinner that you threw. And she shows up at our table and she goes, this has changed my life in one session. This is amazing. And it's like, it can actually happen that fast where just something hits. But that creates such a momentum for everybody else, right? It's that like, wow, this is working. This is real. And I can do this in a way that's not, okay, I have to do it Corey's way, or I have to do it Robin's way, or I have to do it Al's way. It's like, really the only way to do it is your way. So how do you make this yours and then live it your way? That's so exciting for people. And so you really do get to create that compounding growth and that ripple effect of positive change throughout the company, throughout the team, throughout their families, throughout communities. And the more people who get to feel that energy and feel inspired that way and then take the action, the better.
Corey, the first time we had you on the podcast, of course, we asked our question about planting proverbial trees. And I'm curious if with Lyceum now, your perspective has changed at all in terms of some of those proverbial trees that you might be trying to plant or impact that you will have on society that, as the saying goes, that you will never see. Is there anything else that you want to share that may have changed from your perspective?
Yeah, so I'm trying to remember exactly what I would have said the last time. And I'm imagining it's not so different, but maybe it's evolved a little bit. And I think what's changing is, so you know that how important it is to create a mentally healthy and fit lifestyle and normalize it, how important that is to me and to Lisa, right? For people to be showing up at their best, to be showing up as their 10 selves. And to make that as normal as, say, physical fitness, just a normal thing in people's lives, a normal part of their work experience, their life experience. And so as the seeds get planted and then you water the seeds and they start to grow and you water them more and they get some more sunshine and they start to grow. And what you see is that way of thinking starts to become more normalized, which is exactly what you want. And so the tree that gets planted that I'm never going to get to see is an entire generation of people where that's just normal for them. That they proactively, not reactively, they proactively prioritize their mental health and well-being. They stay on a path of continuous growth. They take it to heart. It matters to them how they show up as people, as leaders, as parents, as partners, as friends, as members of community. And we get to hold ourselves to a higher standard, not out of like an obligation that we need to do it or we're told we need to do it, but it's something that's actually a part of who we are. And so as like I think about my kids, right? As my kids become adults, they're young guys right now. They're 9, they're 6. And the world that they're living in, I mean, who knows what the world's going to look like in 5-10 years? It's changing so fast. All the more reason that we need to keep growing this tree so that we can adapt, so we can be resilient, so that we can show up at our best and thrive. So I just want that to just become more and more normal in people's lives to the point where, hey, do you want to grab dinner? It's like, oh, I got my Lyceum workout. Oh, great. I have mine the next day. And it's like that kind of thing, you know, within a company and within families and communities and within schools in time as well, where it's just a normal part of our lives. I'm not going to get to see what that literally looks like in 50 years or so or 100 years, but wow, is that going to be a fantastic world?
That's a great answer. I'm really happy that you came back on today. It's been a reminder to me about some of the things that, you know, we talked about when we went through your program and just to revisit some of those things. And listen, I love your outlook and your perspective on life. And I hope that we can certainly move towards some of those things that you're trying to move everyone towards.
Yeah, let's do it, guys.
Yeah, every conversation with Corey is just one where you're glad you invested the time because you always come out with some learnings and it's just always a feel good talking to you, Corey. Anything else we should know about Lyceum before we wrap up the episode?
I would just say kind of, you know, very generally speaking that, and I mentioned this before, we kind of came out of COVID scrambling about mental health and really just starting the conversation. And really we've had now years since then where we've seen that the same old approach isn't getting us where we want to go. And in fact, the situation, mental health, loneliness, depression, anxiety, stress, like things are getting worse, not better. And so what's so great right now is, especially on an organizational level, companies are starting to take a more forward-thinking, proactive approach. Not everybody, certainly not everybody, but you're seeing more and more of it. I would say to any leadership, any culture, any organization where you are a people first company, where you do care about your people, not just as how productive they can be, but knowing that these are people with families and lives and they deserve to be happy and they want to do great work. Remember that again, they do want to do great work. If you can help them do that and you can equip them to do that, not only is it really going to scratch that itch for you as a leader of people, but it's a fantastic move for your business. You're increasing retention. You are increasing productivity and engagement. You're increasing the way that people talk about your company is this great place to work. And we see that over and over, like the way that people think differently now about their company because they've been offered Lyceum. And so what I would say to any leaders who are listening to this is ask yourself who you want to be as an organization and what you want for your people. Ask yourself if the current approach is getting you what you want. And again, no judgment. We don't judge. We're just observing and asking the question. And if there's a way that you can move more towards that 10, and if Leasium can help you do it, fantastic. And whether it's Leasium or not, there's a way to do it. If it happens to be with us, fantastic. We'd love to help.
Wonderful. Well, that does it for today's episode. Stay tuned this fall for me, Al, Corey, and Joshua. We'll be making our tour at the Sphere in Las Vegas. So stay tuned. Still, the name's up for grabs. So if you have suggestions, please let us know. All kidding aside, Corey, always really, really great to see you. I really enjoyed this conversation with both of you. If you have any questions for Al or myself, you know where to find us. Success leaves clues. We've seen it here yet again. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys.